Hey, hey there. Let's see who I've got with me. It's both of you. Hey.
Oh, yay.
Okay, I got you unmuted there. Wow, great. Cool. Look at you on the screen.
Oh my gosh, that's alarming.
Well,
wow.
I'm gonna shut that
crazy,
down.
Right?
I'm going to put up the two that you specifically called out so we can talk about those first, and then or maybe we should really look at all of them first and then see.
Yeah.
Kim thinks. Okay, cool. All right.
Well, you just really moved on that baby.
Yes, you did.
Well, it was a long time in the conversation. I've been talking with this designer since I first engaged with her in March, and I wasn't ready for a variety of reasons. And then I was ready, and we've been working around her schedule. And so the timing of it really worked out to be like getting going on it just as our class, like right before I signed up for this class. So it was just, it all just sort of came together. It's perfect.
I see.
Yeah. So, but she has like, she's gone a long way from, you know, she started working on it, I think, the end of July is when she first started doing like the very rough thumbnail sketches. There were like 50 of them, which we went over. And then several weeks later, she came back to me with some these comps. But this is her fun thing. Apparently she's working around some really intense, like all nighters and hard deadlines. And so, she's sending me stuff at like 3 a.m.
Oh my.
I know, but I'm grateful for her. She's an awesome person.
Well, let's look at these, shall we? So I've kind of got my opinion there, and then I want to see what Kim. So here's the first 5.
Okay.
There are lots.
Cool.
Then we got this set here.
Okay, not crazy about the spikes?
Me too. Like,
it's just a little bit too aggressive, or like, okay, are you trying to be a punk rocker, or are you trying to be a, what are you? Are your hair on fire, or?
Okay.
Yeah, agreed.
These.
Okay. I love 14.
Okay, yep. And these.
Okay.
It's so hard for me to just be quiet and just see if it all matches up with what I want.
Yeah. And 17's not bad either.
I agree. I like 17.
Wow, they're morphing. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's been playing with texture and things as she goes. And then gets input from me. So like some of these I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? But yeah.
Okay. So
that,
if you were,
that's all of them.
If you were going to incorporate any kind of a queen or a princess or a royalty or anything like that into your content, you could look at, well, it's disappearing. It was the maybe 25 because it's got that kind of crown aspect. So I don't know if that's something you're going to consider or not. I like the cleanness of those earlier ones, 14 and 17 or whatever that was, because no matter what size, you have to do the size test. You have to shrink it down to, you know, 1/2 inch and see what does it look like there.
Yeah.
Blow it up. And because if this is your
this is a big part of it is making sure that it reads well at the favicon size on a browser tab. And could also be as big as a billboard, right?
Yeah.
So
it
has
reverse
to work
out,
all
it's
the
white
way.
Against dark, dark against light.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look at it small like that, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
So what do you guys think? What was your thought?
Well, do you want to show Kim?
Yeah.
Because I sent Lori the two that I chose to combine. Okay. There are two that worked for me. Mm-hmm. So the face in 20 and the hair in 14.
Yes.
With a couple of tweaks. So one of the things, I don't know if you guys, I'm just completely dating myself, but in 14, it reminds me of, remember in back in the 80s, like every single guy, cool single guy had those Nagel prints, right?
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
what that reminds me of, right?
Yes, and sure.
And I love the sunglasses and like the glamorous lips, but I just, for the audience, I don't think that's what we're going for. I think you need to be able to see some expression in the eyes, and there needs to be a smile, like it needs to be engaging. So what I asked her to do is take, and she wanted to add some background to the hair, and I just think the hair is, I think she nailed it here, and it's almost iconic, really. If mm-hmm. she completes that shape on the left to pull that, so there's like, it encloses that white negative space so you don't have the option to think of that as a cowlick sticking out.
Yeah.
And she's going to take out the vertical lines and then take the face from number 20 and combine the hair in 14 with the face from 20. And I asked her to just really like simplify it down to, you know, only the most essential lines. So the lashes are really yep. cool, but those are almost too busy. So I said, think of like Bewitched. Mm-hmm. I went and pulled some images of that cartoon intro from I Dream of Jeannie too. Like just like the suggestion of a lash, you know what I mean? At the
yeah.
end.
A bigger line.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. and maybe even stylize the eyes a little bit more. I'd be okay with that. If it gets it just needs expression. But I showed it to Dennis because he doesn't have any background in any of this stuff, and I think it's good to get input from people who aren't into this. And he said it looks like you, and there's kindness in that face.
Yes.
Some of the other ones were a little bit too, they might, I don't know, cynical, snarky, a little bit too mischievous. It just wasn't it. It just needs to be an open, more open face, I think.
It's interesting that where your vision is, and I don't know, that's not a bad thing, but you're looking down and out and...
Mm.
And I don't
Whereas
know.
The other one's straight on.
Yeah, the other ones, but I agree with you. I liked the personalization in 20. It looks more like the pictures I've seen of you. And I love mm-hmm. the hair in 14 because it reminds me of a winding path. And there's almost this like a bridge, like over on the left side, those vertical lines going down reminds me of a bridge mm-hmm. going to somewhere. And you're... You talk about, you know, that's how you're, like I said, you're in my mind, you're a journey master. And that just looks like both hair and a path, you know.
So you would keep those vertical lines?
I don't have any problem with them. But the whole concept of the simplicity of that representation of your hair, I think is great. Whatever she decides to do.
I just think that hair is, it's, I sent you guys that image of Jimmy, and I think she really got it. And it will also translate well to take this same thing and create a customized, completely different kind of header for my blog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. I like that.
It'll go there. Yeah. The whole idea was, you know, establish a mark that could then be incorporated into other things. And so the whole vibe of 14, I think will work really well with the, you know, it's where the brand site is, you know, I'm trying to keep that header really, really simple, because there's so much else going on visually already. The Sparkalonious Funk blog is, I mean, it's kind of vanilla now, and I want it to, you know, people are coming there to read stories, and, you know, like, I want them to be I want it to like be charged with a sense of color and energy, not all over the page, but at the,
well,
at
and
the
it
header.
Needs to
and
have,
I think that'll work well.
It needs to have the stamp of you on it. And my only thing, and
exactly.
I don't have a real opinion, but it's just a wondering, you know, to make this more complicated for you, is do you want your eyes to be going where they are, or do you want them to be going looking at the audience, or do you want them to be looking up at, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there for you to think about.
It's a good question because it's a good question. And what she did is she took the photo from my bio page as a reference. Mm-hmm. And then she asked me later if I could send her some more photos of different angles of my face, you know, similar but different angles. And so these are actually referencing two different photos. And so I may, and this is a perfect time to bring it up. Yeah, maybe it complicates it. I don't know, but it's, you know, that's her job, is to solve these visual problems.
Yeah, I like
then,
the
you know,
smile
he,
and the, yeah.
He decided, yeah, and I think, and I'm like putting together, you know, a summary of specs, you know, what I'll need for the site, but also just, you know, all the tweaks that we talked about. And so this would be a good time. And I just let her know that, you know, I showed it to, you know, the folks in my class, and she's very well aware that I'm taking this class. So, mm-hmm. and that it's really influenced a lot as we've gone on. So I'll mention it to her, just that cold, you know, cause it's important to have that, just the response cold, right. Without having seen any of it before. So mm-hmm. I'll let her know. Thank you.
Okay.
Well,
sure. I wanted to ask you, did you mean right here? Do you see my little pointer thing I'm using?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean by
those
vertical lines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those vertical lines. She had started to do something with sparkles or something. And she goes, and I left those in just so you could see it, but I don't intend for those to stay. Like, it didn't work. So
yeah, good.
We were just going to take those out. And I think in terms of the, without those lines, I think that the shapes, just the shapes themselves that mm-hmm. are created from that simplifying of my hair are, I think she got it. I really
uh-huh.
do.
I do too.
And do you guys agree about enclosing? Maybe I'm wrong. I liked it fine without enclosing it, but Dennis thought it looked like a cowlick. And then after talking to Linda, she said, oh yeah, I was meaning for that to be like texture. And I don't really like that. I think it should, I think that white space on the left, yeah, yes. That white space, I think that should be, no, to your left, see where it's open there? It's,
yeah.
She brought that line down, yeah, and closed it, enclosed that shape. Then it would be, you know, it would form kind of more of a circular.
I like it open, but or you could
you could
curve it in a little bit.
Yeah, me too. I think curving it in. That's
but I like the open again because I when I just at this level at this size anyway, I looked at that and I immediately got this image of a road and a almost like a bridge to somewhere. And it's okay to take the vertical lines out, but. I kind of like, I like the openness.
Okay. I'm going to tell her that because one of the things she mentioned what, cause I said, I really like there's movement and energy in it, but it's mm-hmm. grounded too. And she kept saying it's like water. It's like waves.
Yes, so, it is.
Tell her about the bridge mm-hmm. and the curvy road and all of that. I think that's a really good point just to like pull that line down just a little bit more so that it, my thing is that the viewer needs to be able to complete the shape. Like
yeah.
on the mm-hmm. lower left, you don't need my jawline drawn in to know it's there.
Right.
And I just think that that piece of hair on the left, if it came in more, it would definitely, you know, people could complete it. Right now it looks a little separate.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go yeah. back here and talk about a few things that were interesting to me though. One okay. is, right here, this number 9 really drew me in. And I don't, and I'm glad that you're doing your own facial features without sunglasses, because I think that this it looks too much like a generic, you know, just a generic picture of someone, but not you. And so good. But here's what I like about this. Now, this, again, if it's not, this is if you have multicolors available in your whatever you're doing. But I do like this yellow halo thing. You know, like if
which would be cool in 4-color, right? I mean, you could add that kind of background to it. Do you think it should have that though for the like? Do you think there needs to be like something behind the hair?
No, I just think that there could be variants of your mark, and one of them is that sometimes you add the halo thing if you're doing more than one color print. And is it the yellow? I don't know if that's the right color, if that's going to go with everything else you're doing.
No, I also that's her thing.
Kind of don't mind that sparkle thing, even though the sunglasses are going to be gone if it was in your hair or whatever, but because of Sparklonious being the name, you know, like one of the words associated with you, that's kind of cool. Like if you, again, have another color to play with in the project. So that kind of stuck out to me. I really like those two things.
Okay. I will share that, because I think one of the things I had shared with her, I gave her a huge amount of stuff, not huge, but I gave her quite a few different things for the mood board, right? Here's the flavor, here's the vibe, here are the colors. And one of the things I sent her was one of my Bitmojis that is like one of my go-tos. I love it. It has on a crown and it's smiling and it has this like ding, like sparkle on the teeth. And it's just hilarious to me. And so I think, and it's similar to that thing that she's got on the glasses. And so I think that could really be a fun version. Like she could embellish it a little bit for the custom header for Sparklonious Funk, I think. That would be fun. It would be really fun. I'll definitely give her that input as well.
Okay.
But overall, I feel like she, you know, and I know she did way more thumbnail sketches and way more comps than she would for anybody else. I mean, she really sort of she went crazy on this for me, and I appreciate it. So I'm glad you guys are digging the direction.
We certainly are.
Really fun. Helpful.
Have fun.
Helpful. Thank you for that.
Well, we have a lot of stuff to talk about with some other stuff you sent over too. And I wanted to just real quickly hit this Kim sent as well about her dream partners. So she's battling with her inner voices. Yes. Glad you
met. Me too.
But yeah, I can see you doing a series on HGTV. Absolutely. I mean, that's perfect. Something nobody's really, as far as I'm aware, nobody has done that angle of
they're doing hoarding or declutter. I don't know if there's any decluttering or not, or maybe there's some decluttering shows on the DIY channel.
Yeah. There's always been a couple of hoarding shows, and there's always been about 3 decluttering shows. One of those was supposed to be my show, which is really funny. Tell you that story another day. But I'm actually glad I didn't get it, because it wasn't going to be the right thing. The way they did the show, I was glad I wasn't in it, because they're trying to be sensationalist. That's the one thing I was going to just tell you about this. When you are doing a TV show like that, what sells and what makes people watch is drama. And so it might force you, and you just need to be assertive in the negotiations about the culture and style of the show. You want to be yourself and you're kind. And you're not going to want to have a, you know, what is that guy that does the kitchen show that yells at everybody?
I know who you're talking about.
You're
not going to want to do that. You know, like I saw them and I know what they were doing, because I've met Peter Walsh a few times and he's a nice person. But Peter Walsh, the organizing dude that was on Oprah, I saw him on a show one time. I think it was an Oprah show, but they were doing a makeover and he was frustrated with this homeowner, and it was her kitchen that they were doing, and he took a drawer of kitchen gadgets and on camera right in front of her, he just dumped the whole thing on the floor and made a huge racket and just shook it out, and he goes, "You need to decide what to do with this," or whatever. And it was like, oh, come on. You know?
Oh, my God.
Those are the things that you want to do. Okay.
I know. Isn't that funny? But I know that they probably coached him to do that, or that he was savvy enough to create that for them, because they do. They look for drama, and they want to have that tease before they go to the commercial, of showing like 2 seconds of that and people going, "Oh, I want to come back to the commercial and see what he said."
Yeah, I know.
You know, that kind of thing. So just be ready for that. And it may be that what works better is to do webisodes, because that's sort of the new thing. And if I were looking at all this today, I would be going in that direction. I feel like more people watch YouTube now than television. In certain ways. And if you can get sponsors to create webisodes and create a series, like a web series, and maybe it's Del Webb that's your sponsor or somebody, but it would be, first of all, more accessible and easy to get that done as an independent production than it is to get a slot on HGTV. So there's endless slots on YouTube. You can create whatever you want, put out there. There's no limit. You see my point on that?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying to downsize your dream of being on HGTV. I think that's a great idea. I just think that you'd have a lot more creative control, and it'd be easier to get done if you did it as a web series, and do it big, you know. But that's an interesting new option for people. Okay. So a few strategic alliances with, Del Webb. I totally agree. Brookdale. I need to introduce you to my friend Marianne Connolly, who's also in Austin. She, I just had a call.
Everybody.
But everybody I want to meet is in Austin.
She has spent the better part of, 5 or 10 years now caring for her aging parents, and they finally, I guess, have both passed away. And she has a lot of content about that, and she's been talking to me for several years about how she wants to create a membership site around supporting aging parents and that role of being sandwich. Basically. So, she has not developed that yet, but she's got a lot of stuff done, and she is a get her done kind of, she used to be the editor of Austin Woman magazine.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And now she is an independent media PR consultant now, but, so she and I chatted on the phone this morning, but, it just, hearing her say, I've still got my plan for my membership site, and now that they've passed, I actually have time to do it and all that. And I thought, oh, ding, ding, ding. Hello, you need to meet.
Yeah, them. Maybe we need to.
Yeah.
Do that as a collaboration. Because supporting caregivers, I'm going to have a booth at a caregiver conference this Saturday.
Oh, good.
And caregivers are one of my primary targets, and some of the people that if you looked at the video on my website of Alice talking about what we did for her and her mother. She is just the ideal client. If I could just clone her 100 times, because she was grateful. She was easy to work with, and I touched her heart and she touched my heart.
Good.
So yeah. Yep. I would love an intro to her.
Okay.
So I can tell you an update on something that happened just yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
The webinar marketing guy that's right around the corner from me in my co-working space is making a pitch to a senior community on Monday. And this is a community or a development that actually is just starting out. I think they have... I don't know how many communities they have. They're assisted living. They might have independent also. And they've got, I don't think they're just in Austin, but they're a Texas corporation.
Okay.
And his group is producing their website, but they're also coming to saying, look, we're a marketing company. And this guy was looking for other ways to monetize and profitize what he's doing and outreach. And so Brian wants to pitch me to him as, hey, she's got this product that you could resell.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, she could do webinars or seminars or be a spokesperson or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how rapidly these people are growing. I know they, like I said, they've got more than one community. They're building this one in Cedar Park. But it's like, really? Because we were just talking about this the other day. And but I'm supposed to get back to him tomorrow on what I would charge the, you know, his corporation for my kit or my package or whatever that would be, and how much profit they could make on it, you know, in the reselling. I'm like, God,
I don't have a clue. Well, see,
I don't have a clue, but let me, I'm going to try to, and it's so helpful that you and I kind of hashed through some of these things away from here. And I have not had a chance to go to your, you know, your packaging or printing people, but you and I talked about some stuff and I think I can pull some round numbers up. I still am not quite sure how to package it with the service part, but anyways, it was an opportunity, which is exciting.
That is so cool. Well, yeah, that's one of the reasons that I'm such a stickler about let's get the cost down, because then also you do have that option to do it as a wholesale thing, you know, so
right.
You give them, you know, a case of 50 kits or something, and then they pay wholesale for that, and you don't have to, you know, they have an inventory, I guess. Okay, so here's something that I just was thinking about when you said spokesperson. Look out for, whether it's Del Webb or whether it's a moving company or whoever it is, look out for some company who's just really falling flat on kind of their social media and their YouTube channel in particular, and like they need content and they're just starving for it. So let me show you what I'm talking about. So this is what I'm about to do with Let Me Shine. Let me show you. Dragging a tab over here. Okay. So YouTube. They are awesome. They don't understand what a YouTube channel is kind of for. They have two channels. I'm just realizing this isn't the channel I looked at yesterday. This is another channel.
Oh,
there it is.
Okay.
This is the new channel. That's fascinating. Oh, wow. I'm going to talk to them about that. So they only have 17 subscribers on this one. Now, they have some beautifully produced commercials. They're 30 seconds. They're as if they were going to go on broadcast television.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice. That's not what YouTube's for.
Right.
You know, to be a repository for your commercials. So what I'm going to be talking to them about is there's actors in this, but it's a commercial. It doesn't matter. They need to be giving content. They need to be doing what I told you guys about, which is, what are the FAQs that your customers have? Like, how do I clean my dishwasher? Mm-hmm. Where's that?
Right.
That's what one of the primary things they do is their dishwasher cleaner product, right? So
yeah,
they need to.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that. I only knew about the garbage disposal stuff. Now I got to go look for that.
Yeah.
They
have a whole gigantic product line now that is growing.
Wow.
They're adding a lot more products and everything. But so this is what I'm saying. They desperately need content. They're just kind of going, oh, let's throw some stuff on our channel or whatever. If you were to come to a moving company and say, look, I can fill your YouTube channel with, like, just produce them for me and I'll do them. And you don't even have to do them. I mean, super high quality. Like these are, like that's another mistake. They're spending too much money on these.
Mm-hmm.
it can, it's just film it with an iPhone. People don't care. They just want the answer. They just want to watch something that is entertaining and helpful. They're doing animation here. I mean, it's crazy. But if you could just fill somebody's YouTube channel with your tips, your content, your how-to, your moral support, your this is how to think about this. One of the things Brendan taught me all the time was, you know what, you teach people how to think. Your expertise, you teach people how to think about something. And so you're going to be like doing all of that for some company that needs a face. This is the other thing. Like, who? What's the face of this, of Let Me Shine? You know, it's just, what if I was on there all over it and they're like, who's that lady? And let me see what she has to say. But there, people look for human eyeballs, literally, in a pic. You know, that's why Facebook ads often will have some kind of crazy close-up face with eyeballs, because people want to click on eyeballs. It's weird. they do. It's really funny. So there are no human faces here to click on and say, oh, what's she saying? You know?
They all look, they look like commercials.
Yeah, they are. They're hilarious. You should watch the Namaste one. It's really, really funny. But yeah, it's a neat opportunity. So I see you doing that for a moving company.
How do you monetize that? I mean, what?
Well, that would be a proposal for, that would be more like an annual contract kind of spokesperson proposal, because it wouldn't be just this. It would be that you would do social media for them. It would be kind of a big job, really. It'd be like a part-time job. But you would produce all these things, and you guys would decide if it was a weekly or every other week or what. And then you would have all these other deliverables, which are, you know, I'm going to create, you know, give you all these, you know, 365 tips for your Twitter. I'm going to give you, you know, twice a week something to put on Instagram for quotes for that. Whatever you want to break it down for, what you think they need. And again, people support what they create, so they'll kind of tell you what they want. But then, you know, hear all their needs, assess it, and then put a proposal together. And then that would be a lump sum contract that you would do. Well, it wouldn't be all paid at once, probably, but it would be, you know, a set amount.
Right.
And they could either pay you by month or by quarter, or half up front and half at the end, or whatever you wanted to figure out. And if you wanted to do a trial of something like that, I think one quarter engagement would be interesting. And you want to measure, this is what I'm doing with them. I'm measuring, like, what's your email subscriptions right now? Like, I don't know. It's got to be like a couple thousand at the most that they have for Let Me Shine. Yeah. They don't have anything really compelling of why you'd even sign up for their list. So then I want to do my magic and then say, look, I've gained you X number of subscribers here and X number of subscribers here, this many views, blah, 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 blah. Now, do you want to work together for a year or what? You know? And you parlay that into a longer relationship if you want to.
That's interesting.
But yeah, so when you said spokesperson, I just, that's exactly what I think of for you. So, and then, yeah, you would also do press releases and special seasonal messages and, you know, do different key message documents for the different seasons of downsizing. So summer would be a big deal for you. Holidays would be a big deal. Yeah.
Did I tell you that I got, I put in to get a national downsizing week?
Oh, you did.
On national calendar days. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And they said, this is so funny. We get 30,000 of these requests a year. We're only taking business requests now. I guess you could do a, you know, happy birthday, Lori Marrero Day or something in the past, but they don't do that anymore.
Okay.
And they said, so we get 30,000 of these. We only accept about 30 a year. So I turned it in, and like 2 days later, oh, you're accepted.
And
in order to claim your thing, I did it the third week in February, I think it was, something like that anyway. And they said, you're accepted. And in order to accept this and, you know, get credit for this, have this tied to your company name, here's one of three packages. The lowest one is 20,000 and the highest is 100,000.
Oh, and for that, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And for that, they will give you so many million impressions. They will send out press releases 2 weeks prior, blah, 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 blah. But I think they probably, I'm going to check and see if they don't actually put it on the calendar, because a lot of these, I have this huge list that I spent an hour going through every single week and month and year to see what was out there. And I came up with this huge list, like, here's one, Lori, clean off your desk day.
Yeah, I've got that
one.
Yep.
Yeah, National Kick Butts Day, National Two Different Shoes Day, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that's how I learned more about this. So so most of these don't have, it says, we don't know who originated this. And I'm thinking that's what they do, is that they'll put it out there and then see if somebody else claims it and says, oh yeah, I want to buy that day, that national day, and have it connected to my company.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Oh, but, it's like, you know, it's like Who's Who, that book of Who's Who, right?
Oh yeah, what was it? National Successful Women of America or something. And all you have to do is pay this for an ad in there or something.
Right.
Yeah, so I got some hilarious ones. Oh my God, there's so. But anyway, I'm thinking it's going to show up, so I can just go ahead and. If it's out there, I can go ahead and promote it and do press releases on it anyway.
Yeah, you sure can. Well, you can declare that all by yourself if you want to.
Exactly.
You know, I had this idea. I'm never going to do anything with it now, probably, but I had an idea to do National Unsubscribe Day, and this was years ago. I actually bought the domain.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I was going to do it Black Friday, because what is the day of the year you are guaranteed to get an email from any place you've ever bought anything? It's going to be Black Friday. They're going to have a sale.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you get all their emails, hit unsubscribe. You know, I mean, if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great, declutter your, yeah. Very nice. So, okay. That's what I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Thanks for the update. 'Cause you're right. That's a really cool thing to know about. How funny. You know, when I went into my kickoff meeting with Let Me Shine, I had done the same thing. I went through and combed that thing every day and week the whole year to see what were the observances that we could use in our campaign. And we found some pretty funny ones, that were fun to do something with in the next couple months. You might see that out there. Okay, so what else did you say here? Oh, you had envisioned this, the kit being on an end cap at Target. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why not. I was thinking, well, would they do something that's so demographically targeted? No pun intended. But, you know, why wouldn't they? They do kid stuff all the time. There's just as many, you know, people that need downsizing stuff as people need toys or whatever. I mean, there's a lot.
I just threw that out there because when I envisioned this 8 or 9 years ago, that just came to my mind. An end cap at Target. And I'm like, what? Are you crazy? And I just kind of threw it out, you know. But then now that we're doing this dream big thing, I'm like, well, if it makes sense, I guess it could be.
Yeah. And again, all the more reason to get your costs down, at least in concept, like so that even if you're paying more for the kit right now for the number of production run, you know, the production run quantity that you want, that you at least have the concept where if I want to get the cost down and I want to pay for this size of run, I know how to do it and know what the cost will be.
Yeah.
If you have reseller agreements, it's going to need to be really low. They're going to expect what they call keystoning, which is double it.
Right, right. You want to make 100% profit.
Yeah.
And it just depends on if I do it by itself or if I say, no, it's got to come with at least online coaching, you know, a one FaceTime or online coaching session.
So you mentioned the joint venture with Avery and Sharpie and all that. Okay, yes, that could happen, but I think more likely would be a sponsorship piece where, you know, they, not those companies that make those, but that whatever company has a vested interest in your and have your same target market, that they would they would sponsor those tools and that they could get them printed, or they could say, you know, these are included because we're also going to have something of ours in the kit too, or whatever, mm-hmm. but they pay for those to be in there. I think Avery and Sharpie.
I probably wouldn't have enough.
Yeah.
Enough, what's the word I wanted? A big enough amount of sales for them to really come together with me.
Well, and the other thing is about Avery, you know, the way we talked about producing the kit, I think it's probably going to be most cost effective for you to have the stickers made yourself and bound into the thing. So you don't even need them. See ya, Avery. We got our own stickers.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Okay.
And then I love the thing about storytelling. And I know that you know Mike O'Krent.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. So that's
because
right.
Because I have to send him a thank you note for referring me to you.
Yeah, I know, right? That's why I'm laughing, because that's his thing, the storytelling. Like, that's all him.
So just to fill you in, Eileen, what was it, 3 years ago?
Uh-huh.
I think it's been 3 years ago. I was going to this thing called Friends of Peter.
Yeah.
Who is the philanthropist guy that is a Delionaire. I went there and I met Michael, and so we did a one-on-one, and he said, you should talk to Lori Marrero. She did this 3-day thing on how to build your business and the 5 steps of creating a brand. And so he gave me your cell number.
Yeah.
And so I called her and she's like, what? I don't know what you thought, but
no, I get stuff like that all the time. That was no big deal. I was glad he sent you to me. That I'm always talking to people. He is such a nice person, and it was my 3-day event. That was really cool. He's a great guy. I've always wondered how he's doing business. His business, Eileen, is recording histories and people's stories on video, like interviewing people and stuff.
Oh,
and
he
worked with Steven Spielberg recording some of the Holocaust survivors' stories for, I guess, a documentary that he had done or something that he used it for.
So he's high-end, and he goes to affluent seniors, and his projects cost, you know, $15,000 to $50,000.
Okay.
So I'm my target market is not quite there. I certainly can help those people, but when you get to that point, it's like, I don't need to go. I mean, they may need to go through some of their stuff, but, you know, I'm just going to go out and buy new stuff.
Oh, that's true. But here's the thing about Mike and people like him. When you get a YouTube channel up and running and anything else that you want to create for content, he is a wonderful person to interview. So have him on as a guest on your YouTube channel and say, I want to talk to you about storytelling. And what have you learned about interviewing people, you know, and, you know, a lot of your people in your market are going to be interested to hear what he has to say, because they'd love to extract the stories from their parents. Mm-hmm. And he'll get some exposure from it, and you'll get some good content, and your market might even hire him, possibly.
That's
one
great
or two.
Idea.
Yeah.
He hangs out at the Monkey's Nest a lot.
How funny. I had a meeting there one time and I was like, I can't believe all the people I know over here. This is funny.
That's my favorite street in Austin. Monkey's Nest is a really cool coffee shop.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, is this a bar or a restaurant? Or that sounds great, though. Coffee. I'm there. I am totally there with the coffee. Yeah.
And then you said,
can I just say, I totally saw when Lori was talking about the cutouts and the, like, in-store presence and the cutouts and the end caps and everything. I totally envisioned you there when she was talking mm-hmm. about that.
Yep.
So I just wanted to throw that in that I can see it. So,
cool.
And well, yeah, you. In Target or wherever, but I was like, where would I be a cardboard cutout? That, like, nothing I do would relate to that, but I could completely see that. It makes absolute sense for you.
That's,
I think,
funny.
That's, you know, where that almost, opinion.
Yeah,
that almost happened to me. Cause I was talking to LG refrigerators one time. And we ended up not doing a deal, which was so disappointing. But they had a new refrigerator that was one of the most organized fridges they'd ever created. And yeah, so, but I was going to be like a cardboard cutout in Best Buy with the LG refrigerators.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, your cardboard cutout days are not over. So I see one in your future.
I need to call it something else. What is that really called, Lori? Not cardboard cutout.
It's called a standee.
There you go. Yeah. I don't think cardboard should be involved in the name of that at all. I'm sorry. I'm just not up to that stuff.
So the other thing that you mentioned on this list, Kim, is creating the course to follow your workbook. Absolutely. And so let me tell you what I'm learning right now, you guys, from the closing down of the membership site. Mm-hmm. We have been sending out, so we first sent the one announcement on Friday, and then we sent a reminder out yesterday with another announcement that we've additionally, we have a little online store that has some eBooks in it and stuff like that. And we said, hey, everything in our store is 50% off. We told them last week. And then we decided that we would do a surprise addition to the clearance sale idea. And that is to add recordings of the courses that I've given. So I have a course called Is Keeping Up Keeping You Down? And it's about managing time and information. And then, I have three other ones, Peace for the Holidays. And that's spelled D-A-Z-E. And then I did a course on The Big Leap, which is the book you know I love. And then another one was a course I did on organizing your dating life, because I learned so much when I was on Match and doing my whole dating thing. So we announced that we were going to do clearance prices on those. And that reaction has been huge. People love courses. And there's one we didn't include, which was really a live workshop, not a course. But they're demanding it. They're like, wait, you're not selling the paper workshop? I'm like, no, it's a live event. They're like, well, you don't have the recording? No, not doing it. I'm not selling that. It's a live event. It's a bring your paper. We're going to sort hands-on together. It's not meant to be a recording. And so they are like, oh my God, please do another paper workshop. Are you sure?
I know, because I was going to do it and I was not available. I saw it and I went, oh crap, I really want that. So I'm going to chime in too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. I had already said I did the last one for 2017 because I knew I was going to close. So I figured that was the last one. And we already had a lot of people saying, no, don't let it be the last one. I really want to do it. And now so many people are coming out. I'm going to say, okay, I will do one more if we get 30 people minimum to do it. So you guys all respond. If 30 of you say yes, then we'll do it.
All right.
So I think we can. But anyway,
yeah.
The bottom line is, oh my gosh, people love courses. I had no idea how much they cared and until it was going to be taken away from them.
Yeah.
And So think about a course, but also think about doing it as a live event kind of thing, like the workshop, if that makes any sense at all. But just to have some kind of thing where they participate with you in something or whatever. That's,
so by a live event, that's like a live webinar, right?
It's like this. It's like Zoom. Yeah. It's like doing it on Zoom and then, you know, partially teaching something and then partially having them do their work and ask you questions while they're doing it. It might not be feasible, but, a course might be better. I'm just saying that's another offering that you can do.
Yeah. Well, I've been wanting to do sort of a subscription type thing for the downsizing portion and some sort of a live webinar type thing that then could be evergreen. So, which I've done one of. Okay. Yeah, cool.
All right. Well, I love these ideas. Did you think about any nonprofit partners?
There's one, but I don't think it would work. It's not called, but their retail store is Savers. I'm sure you're probably familiar with them.
I have a really bad taste in my mouth for Savers, but please continue and I'll tell you why.
Well, but they're not set up in that way. They're set up supposedly. I mean, they reached out to me and when she told me about it, I thought, well, that's really cool. And I like the concept of it, but it's like you have to go. My understanding is that you like, okay, you get stuff together and you drop it off, but it has to be for a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sell the stuff, and then a certain percentage of that mm-hmm. goes to that nonprofit organization. So it's not set up to be a really good place for me to just be able to donate things for my clients.
No, please don't. As a matter of fact, that competes directly with Goodwill, and they're not a nonprofit. They're a for-profit company. We just between you and me and the lamppost, I mean, Savers is like a thorn in their side because it's so irritating. They make it sound like they're doing good in the community and they're donating. Yeah, they do. They give a sliver of percentage to whatever they're saying they're giving to this week, but they keep the rest of it for profits, and it's just a store. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah. So people have the perception that they're donating to a nonprofit, but they're not. And
well, it kind of quacked like a store, like a regular store. So that's yeah. why I was like, what are we going? So yeah, other than that, no, I haven't. I mean, NASM, the National Association of Senior Move Managers, mm-hmm. partners with Habitat for Humanity. Mm-hmm. And I could certainly do that. But other than that, I really haven't come up with anything. And I have a heart for single mom and women that have been battered. That doesn't really tie into my audience per se. But anyway, don't know.
Yeah, no. And so Goodwill is not a bad idea for a partner. And both of you, you know, Eileen, you even said that to me in this other email. You know,
yeah.
Yes. and you, because of upcycling, as you mentioned, and also connecting people to, you know, to work. So yeah, that's terrific.
Meaningful work, mm-hmm. meaningful work. Mm-hmm. And, there's just, I don't know, there's just so much there. And then I also have this goal, which, you know, but I didn't put in that email of, making that message available to people who, like, it shouldn't be exclusive to people who are going to pay for come to a retreat in Colorado, right? Like,
yeah.
Everybody should be able to, you know, get that, which is why it's so important to me to still provide free content and, you know, be active mm-hmm. in ways that, you know, yes, they could benefit me, but that, you know, I might not charge for.
Yes.
So, you know, I welcome any input from it's the service aspect is so important. Yes, I have to make a living. But the entire thing is fueled by that. I have to do more than produce free content, mm-hmm. but it's really important that, you know, that's part of what makes it congruent, right? It has to be true throughout everything. So I mean, I would welcome more ideas that either of you have about places that could work. It's just Goodwill came to my mind because I'm like, oh yeah, they have a mission that makes sense to me. And there's not, you know, I'd have to kind of look. I mentioned the local one that I used to contribute. You know, I contributed funds and also physical, you know, donations to this place called Jubilee Women's House in Seattle yeah. that helps people put it back together or get it together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's terrific. So, you know, that is another way to do what you want to do. And that is just instead of partnering with somebody like a gigantic brand that, you know, like Goodwill, mm-hmm. something that really truly means something personally to you where you say, look,
Yeah.
You know, a portion of what I do goes to this or something like that. So that, you know, whatever makes sense. But I do want to say something really quick, just because I am so conditioned after 7 years, I want to make sure everybody understands some things. So you said that you have a friend that changed her life with her experience of working for mm-hmm. Goodwill. And I'm sure that mm-hmm. you heard that story because she's your friend and all that. But what I want to make sure everybody does know is that the people that get help from Goodwill, almost very few of them actually work for Goodwill. And that's sort of a myth out there that I try to bust all the time. So when people get help,
some
people work in the stores or something, but typically what they do is they place mm-hmm. you, they place you in a job like Home Depot or something like out in the community. So I just,
it's bigger than that. If it were just working in the store, it would really limit their scope, right?
Exactly.
Am I getting that right? Like, it's like a lot of different industries. And that's what I got from their site anyway. And that's what I've always understood. But then they also have like paid workers. And I mentioned her only because her experience of like, seeing how people's lives were changing, and it also changed hers, because she was in a place where when she started, she was at a time where she was pretty much unemployable, right? And mm-hmm. so she was growing her life back mm-hmm. and she created a new life out of some, you know, parts and pieces and shards and paperclips and band-aids, and you know, a lot happened there. And then she also, like, she would see great stuff come in and go, okay, so there's a rule about how long before you could actually like buy it yourself, right? As a mm-hmm. support worker. And she has this experience as a furniture refinisher, and she did a lot of stuff for me at my old house. And I still have one of the chairs she did, and she's constantly doing that, you know? And so it was such a great image to me of just that transformative process and taking other people's whatever, and that vintage fashion show. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So I would say is, when you're ready and you feel like your brand is built out, especially enough with your social media presence and sort of your proof of concept of, hey, I've done some retreats, I've done, this is what I do. And you have sort of some things under your belt that you would be ready to approach them. They are always open to, like, they have other people besides me that work with them as sort of a brand ambassador. People always joke with me, you're a Goodwill ambassador. I have been their primary spokesperson for a long time. I also have a person who does that a little bit, not as much as me, but Yvette Rios. She mm-hmm. is, she's been on The Chew, you know, on ABC. She's mm-hmm. their roving reporter person. And then she had for a while her own show that was on Saturdays that was called Recipe Rehab.
Oh, I've heard
of that. Yeah. So that's my friend Yvette. And she and I worked together on some things for Goodwill. But they also have bloggers. So that's why I bring this up. So they have a blogger, Julia, who does a lot of the vintage. Like, they like me from the organizing, clean out your closet standpoint. They like Yvette from the decoration standpoint, the sort of homemaking of your decor and repurposing, upcycling stuff. They like Julia because she's really good at thrifting and doing and finding vintage things and whatever. And she's a blogger. And then, you know, so they look at other angles, and they like to work with bloggers and people like that, that, you know, whether they're a primary spokesperson or not, at least that they're sort of a friend to Goodwill and they partner on projects, stuff like that. So there's a place for a lot of different types of ways to shine the light on what they do, because it's very big and complex, as we've discussed. You know, it's the job mm-hmm. placement, it's the recycling angle, it's all kinds of things.
And it's international, right? I mean, it's it's not just your local Goodwill store, and it's not
Goodwill's
just the U.S. only. Isn't it? Yeah. It's enormous. And so
enormous.
Thinking about like one guy being the CEO of all of that. I mean, my experience with nonprofits is it's at least as complicated as a for-profit corporation, at least.
Oh yeah.
And maybe even more, because it is a nonprofit, and that has all these other complicated things. So,
well, there's a lot at any rate, there's a lot more parameters you have to, just having been on the board of a local Big Brother Big Sister, all the parameters you have to go through, and the funding and the hoop jumping, and I know Goodwill's gone through some bad press, and you know, millennials are like, oh no, you know. So I don't know.
That's another one I thought of, though, Kim, is Big Brothers Big Sisters. So I need to do, I need to do some, I thought about participating in it as, you know, as someone's big sister, but also when I was thinking about this exercise, I was, my life hasn't been in a place for a long time where I could, you know, it wouldn't be fair to say I'm going
to
do that.
You need to be around.
And then I can't, and then I can't be present, but I would still need to do that. And I would also, but this exercise got me thinking about it again as, oh, maybe I could be, you know, but I, there's a lot more that I need to kind of explore. And then I'm going to have to really look at some stuff regionally as well. But I just haven't, in the time since I, you know, sort of shoehorned myself out of Seattle, it has been one thing after another. And so now I'm finally in a place where I can really sit down and think about that stuff. So I'm really grateful, especially for this component. Well, all of them, but this really got me thinking in ways I could be of service. So.
I'll tell you one thing that is a fantastic angle to put in your back pocket for if you do want to approach Goodwill in the future. They love to talk about the phrase second chances. And one of my favorite quotes of all time from the founder of Goodwill, Edgar Helms is his name. He was a reverend, a Methodist preacher, actually. Edgar Helms said, "Goodwill helps reclaim the value of both things and people."
That's cool. Man.
I like that.
Yep.
That's brilliant.
So your
That's
thought,
a good one. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So let's
I just wrote it down.
So oh, good. Yeah, no,
I wrote it down.
Like 100 speeches where I quote that because it's such a good quote and it says a lot about what they do. So I love your thing where you said grit, glamour, gratitude. Grit is becoming a very hot word, by the way. There are books.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Irritating at this point. I made it funny. But it's, I've been seeing it come up and there's like whole quizzes and, you know, frameworks on grit. And so it came to me, glamour, gratitude. I don't feel like I want to go down that path as my, like, grit's already a part of it, right?
Yeah.
So, but it seems like it's a, but it's a thing, that combination to me. It just, I was like, I need to write that down. So.
So I,
did you have
if
warning
I'm being,
about it?
Yeah. And that would be it. It is hot, but it's also, that's a negative in a way. Cause like you just said, it's getting irritating. I went to a speech, couple weeks ago, an author who wrote yet another book on grit, you know, and I'm like, okay. And she was not that great of a speaker, and I was kind of irritated about that. I'm like, wow, she just got, I already know how much she got paid for that speech. And I was like, really? I was so irritated. But, you know, when you're a speaker and you watch other speakers, it is hard because you're like, oh, yeah. On that better. Let me show you, redo that slide.
Well, maybe I'll just leave. I'm just going to leave my bio as it is then, but I do want to somehow incorporate making the invisible visible because, like I was telling you guys on Tuesday, that was in, Laura, you probably remember that from my list when we were first talking about Michelangelo and all of that. And I just took it as a sign from the universe when Kim said it, like, you know, like as if she'd been there in that same, you know, it's like, that I, it has to be incorporated somewhere because I think it's implied, but I think we have to say it out loud.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. That's great. And I love your retreat, options now that you're, branching out and thinking of even fresher, cooler ideas to, to do the lodging. Mm-hmm. I saw that one that you sent.
Yeah.
Oh, it's still on my browser. Wow, what a gorgeous house. My gosh.
Isn't it amazing? And you know what? When I looked at it the other day, it was $925 a night for the whole house. And it's tremendous. I'm going to see if when we go on a road trip, I'm going to reach out to the owner and say, hey, we're moving to Durango. We're thinking of, you know, a place that we can rent quarterly for retreats. Would it be possible for us to check this out? My dad always said, all they can do is say no, right? So I'll see. But the other thing about it is we're just, you know, we're realizing like, our original idea was to have a place where we could host these intimate retreats in our home. And ever since you mentioned Airbnb and now the other one escapes me, but that idea has really kind of stuck with me as like, okay, yeah, we wouldn't have to board our pets. We could retain a sense of privacy. We wouldn't have to have a massive, you know, house mm-hmm. to do it. Mm-hmm. And we can also change the venues. So we can do one in Hawaii, even if we haven't moved to Hawaii yet. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We can change it up. And I just think that was just genius, and it expands our options. I really was. I never would have thought of it ever in a million years. And I think it's just brilliant because it allows us like flexibility, and we can scale it differently too, depending on what's available. A lot of places will say, yeah, we can, you know, it sleeps 15, but it's only 5 rooms. And they're, you know, like a whole bunch of single beds crammed into one. Well, that's not what people are paying for. So mm-hmm. anyway, but yeah, I just can't thank you enough for that insight.
Yeah. And I would try to even negotiate with those owners off of the Airbnb site and just say like on site,
yep.
we want to do this, you know, let's negotiate a different price. And Dennis was saying yep. on this email here, you said he wanted to do retreats as often as monthly. My only concern about that, like you said, quarterly is still quite a lot. It takes a lot out of you to do an event.
Yes.
And so you need to make sure you're recharged for doing it. But the other thing is back to our influence, our 6 key concepts for influence. One of them is scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's my concern about that.
Yeah. People will definitely, as you said, procrastinate to the next month. They'll be like, oh, I'll just go to the next one. And they just won't do it.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't believe the kind of activity that we have going on right now because we're closing. People are mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
scarcity really matters. Okay. So
do you feel like quarterly is, do you feel like quarterly is too many or does that feel like the right pace?
I think it's great. I think it's really
good. At least for the first year. I mean, I mean, I'm not Tony Robbins and I'm not, you know, like I don't have a name that people are going to go, oh, she's doing this thing once a year. Ah, right. How do you create a demand for it too? And if it's only 8 at a time, why not? You know, but I'll have to think up something around summer and fall. But winter and spring, I mean, New Year's and spring certainly lend themselves easily. I just have to think about what the other things are. So.
And summer is going to be a great time in Durango too, by the way, just for people to get.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
People from Texas.
Maybe not August, but yeah. And I'll be expecting you guys to come visit too.
Yeah.
I'd
love to.
Okay, good.
So let me hit some of these bullets that you asked me to. So you said, should I do a twice a week class and how long does each session need to be? 4 week or 8 week intensive? I don't know because your content okay. dictates that. It's your framework and your content.
Okay.
How realistic is it to get all that in that amount of time? I would say for yours, though, I would err on the side of it being a little longer just because it's such a process for people to iterate through.
Mm-hmm.
just, it's like, they're not going to get an answer at the end of 4 weeks. They're not going to know, oh, this is the purpose of my life and this is what I'm going to do. They're going to be having to wade into it a little more slowly. So for that reason, I would just think about longer, but for content, you have to have a lot more content. So,
okay.
The answer and the way I always figure that question out is mind mapping. So I map out the whole course, and then once you've got it in front of you as a visual, and you and I are the same on this because we've talked about it with our website, we kind of have to see it mocked up to be able to know what to do.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with the mind maps, and then you can see these chunks and like, well, actually, this chunk kind of goes with this chunk, and this chunk kind of goes with this chunk. And once you start moving all these chunks around, you're like, oh, there's five modules. Holy cow. Like, it just starts to become obvious.
I think that goes right along with what you and I talked about on our call the other day, which is the online course can come out of, you know, these are things that my clients ask me. So it can come out of coaching sessions and out of the retreats, and be, I don't want to say a light version, but, you know, a different take on it. So it's like, starting just like we start, like it start at the top of the hourglass and go down. It's sort of, you know, I have to create the workshop framework first. Okay. And then from there I can, you know, and since I'm not leading with the online courses anyway, I was just curious because I keep seeing people having more than 4 weeks, and I keep thinking for this audience that 8 is too long.
Okay.
It's not long for what we're doing here, but for when I think about when I was in that place, I would not have been able to like get my mind around committing to 8 weeks.
I see. That's
four or five though. Four or five though I could have done because okay. It seemed, and if it's priced right, I could see people going, oh yeah, I could get my stuff in one shoe in 5 weeks. Okay. Right. So
yeah.
8 weeks sounds like eight weeks sounds like a job, and it's like, nah, I can't do it.
Okay.
So,
that's
but I'm going to think about it a little more.
That's a great perspective too. But as you mentioned in your next bullet is outcome. So 8 weeks is maybe long enough to get an outcome, and maybe 4 weeks isn't. So that's my only concern. Yeah. I'm thinking about that. And when you have your business cards saying writer, explorer, storyteller, guide, I think that's great for a business card because that is you. But when you're promoting a course experience or an intensive or coaching, whatever experience intensive thing, that's when you got to think about the outcome more than the business card.
Okay.
And Conjuring Liberation Alchemy is cool because we all know what that means because we've been talking through it.
But nobody else knows what it means.
Yeah. I don't think they do, even though when you hear what it means, you go, well, of course that means that because the words work. But it is, huh? It's a huh thing that you get from people.
So here's my deal. So I heard in that same, oh, Lola, please, my God, UPS man, go away, from, or whoever this is ringing our weird doorbell, from that same webinar that I was sharing with you guys that I've watched, the Russ Ruffino one, he talks about, like, creating, you know, telling people the outcome, like, say you're, for example, a business coach, but say, you know, tell people when they ask you what you do, what's the outcome? So that's really what I'm playing with is, what is the outcome? What's the expected outcome? And what could I say that's true for all of my paid offerings, let's say? It might not be true of the free offerings because people are jumping in to follow a story or get a chunk of inspiration. So that might not be something I can solve on this call, but I just, you know, I need to really think about it. And it might not need to go on my business cards, right? But I do need to be able to state what they're going to get, right? You'll walk away with X, just like you did for, you know, the description of this course. At the end of it, you will know blah, 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 and blah, right?
Yes.
If you participate, right? If you fully commit, you'll have these things. They might not be what you thought they were going to be at the end.
Yes.
But you'll know these things, right? So anyway.
Okay. Let's see. It's going to be some time before you can add the videos. Okay. Yes. Oh yeah. So September 28th. Wow. What is today? That's a week from today. Yeah. You're going to get your,
yeah, a week from today. I'm doing the photos. I will send you ladies the, some things to look at just cause I, you know, I've been talking about it. So I would, I'm going to love it for you to see the session. So I'm going to share it with you if I can
awesome.
Get the login.
Yeah, there. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it'd be fun. So, yeah, that's coming up. The videos, I think what we've decided is we're going to wait until we're settled in our new perch. It just makes sense. We're going to list our house live on October 2nd.
Yeah.
It's so nuts exciting. To try to like have a, it is, it's really exciting. And I'm, we're like coming up with the path too. But it's just, I think it's too much and too many. And since I'm already saying I'm not going to, you know, do the first retreat in January, the idea is to take a breather and then there's no rush really.
Yeah.
There's really not.
Yeah. No, you're right. You got a lot on your plate. Like, in fact, someone gave me that lecture today for me. Like, give yourself a little break here because I I am taking on a lot right now, and you are too. So moving's a big deal. And I think when you kind of get settled the first of the year, you're going to have a large burst of inspiration and ideas. When you get that out of your head, you're going to free up space and energy for yeah. a lot of explosive creativity there.
Plus my coaching course, my certification starts October 3rd. So we're going to list our house on the 2nd and my classes start on the 3rd. So I'd like to not do the whole thing on the fly, you know?
Yeah.
and I think that's going to also inform a lot of things too.
I agree. Is that
hope.
So you had a question that when should I engage a PR firm and a publicist? And then you said, ideally someone would see my work and pursue me. That probably isn't going to happen. That's not really how they usually work. It's more, they get approached by the person that needs them typically, just so you know, but,
and then they decide like, don't a lot of them sort of choose you though? I mean, they don't necessarily say, yeah, we're going to take you on because you're paying us. They choose you too, right?
Well, it has to be a good fit. It's just like anything else, like a partnership or anything. Like I've worked with my PR firm for 10 years and that's been an amazing fit, but we figured that out. And some of them specialize in healthcare industry or, you know, that kind of thing. So like there's firms that just in general aren't a fit for certain types of businesses. And then, you know, what happens typically, I mean, now if you're a superstar, yeah, they're going to go, are you represented or whatever?
Yeah.
But like, yeah. Typically what happens is you decide that you need their services and you talk to two or three firms, just like everything else. You get a couple of bids and they're going to do a proposal and they're going to want to have a meeting with you and understand your goals, that kind of stuff. So, but as far as when to engage them, when you have monetization up and running so that whatever you do can result in money as they get you attention, so, that the attention results in sales.
So probably like at least a year in, I'm thinking.
Yeah. And you're right that you can do a lot yourself before you invest in those things. So make your online presence as big as you can on your own because you guys have been taught everything you need to know how to do that. I mean, you can build a nice status on social media, a presence following those guidelines that will be enough to get the attention of media outlets like that you are legit, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. How early or late starting to promote a January 2018 retreat? God, did I hear 3 or 4 months? I feel like I heard a 4 month lead up is what is a good idea for, you know, it's butts in the seats, as they say. That's the thing. How do you get butts in the seats? And people often, they need to hear about it a few times before they commit. They might even need to talk to you. In your case, they might need to have a call. Before they decide, yes, I'm going to go, you know, like at one of your free introductory things. So there's a bit of a sales cycle there. And then the other thing is travel to be booked and all that, and asking time off from work. So you need to give a lot of lead time for that.
Okay. I might not do January then, because like, I think January is a thing, but I don't know if this January is a thing. I think it mm-hmm. might be more, I'd rather do it really well and right the first time. Not that I know perfection is the enemy of done, but I think I mean, it's the first one. I think maybe what I'll do is focus on like cultivating the coaching part and the coaching packages, and then and building the online presence, and then aim for like a spring retreat, and then start the cycle then. And we can include January in it, but not try for January 2018. I think it might be just too much and too many.
Yeah, I can hear potential burnout happening for you just because of all the other stuff. Moving across town is a big deal. Coming from somebody who does a lot of moves,
horrible.
Moving to a different state and a different climate is a bigger deal. And you're moving to a new community, and you have to give mm-hmm. yourself time, and you have to, you really need to incubate yourself and your messaging. I think you'll come full blown from this cocoon. Boom.
Yep, I agree. I think so. And and it's very possible that we may have another move. Like if we perch in the initial spot, I think we will, we're going to have to move again, because that house is going to go on the market in April probably. So, you know, it would probably be wise to do that. The climate change between here and Durango is, it's different, but it's not as extreme as Seattle to Las Cruces. So I think I'll be okay with that part. And it's also a friendlier community, but you're right. I mean, all it takes time, and time takes time, which I think Dennis is tired of hearing me say, but it's true. So
guys, I just saw something on my text, and I think I got my days mixed up. I thought that I had a 3 o'clock meeting on Friday, and or actually it was a 2 o'clock and a 3 o'clock. I just realized it's today. Oh my God.
Oh no. Well, okay.
Oh my goodness.
I tell you what, this is what I have thought about for, because it's our last session together. I would like to have one more call privately with each of you, just to kind of close up everything and open loops, and just kind of where do we go from here? I think that's an individual answer for each of you. So why don't we just schedule a time to talk next week, and I'll be kind of past some stuff next week too. So that'll be good for everybody, I think.
Yeah. Let us know. We'll send you some dates and times, and you can let us know. It'd be great.
I like that. Okay, good. Well, then you can feel free to go do that, and we'll get closure when we talk next time. That's great.
Okay, Aline, keep me in the loop on what you're doing. All righty.
Oh, you do the same. Thank you, Kim.
I will. I will. All right.
Okay. All right, bye.
Bye, Kim. Okay. You asked about and we were talking about, you're going to have to move again and all that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You got a big,
I've forgotten that part of it, but we're going to have to do that. And that figures in.
Sure does. I think February, March sounds great. The only thing is spring break is like a big deal as far as the cost of lodging going up really high over there. So try to get it like on the weeks that there's not a big spring break crowd.
And not Easter. I mean, there's like, depending on people's mm-hmm. church situation too, it can get really complicated. So that's kind of a complex one. And I'll need to talk to some people who are already longtime locals to find out what makes sense. Because the cost of lodging does fluctuate a lot.
It does.
Booking a room in October is about half of what it costs in August, for example. So
I pay attention, by the way, to, you know, every once in a while, tune into a morning show here locally or something to see kind of who's on there, what are they saying, that kind of stuff. And there was a woman from homeaway.com mm-hmm. on the local morning show, and she said, because you could see what their key messaging is. Like, now that you know all this stuff, you could be like, oh, that their key message is this. Watching TV differently. She said that, hey, HomeAway would like everybody to know that pumpkin spice lattes are your signal to book your ski vacations in Colorado, Utah, whatever. She said that don't have a pumpkin spice latte until you've booked your ski vacation, because the rooms will be all gone. And so the message was, by the time these things appear in Starbucks, all the good lodging is taken in that area. So it'd be good for you to know. I thought that was kind of a cool way to help.
That's a way to hook onto somebody else's train too, right? It's like without actually using their name. That's brilliant. Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. You can start picking up on that stuff now. That's exactly what they were doing. And but it's good for you to know that as you talk to the locals, like, what, how fast does stuff book up, and what do I need to be thinking about here? And you're going to find just the right person who's going to sit down and go, listen, honey. And they're going to tell you everything you need to know. So I could just picture that.
Absolutely. So, I think it might be a combination of the mortgage broker I talked with yesterday and our real estate agent, who is very plain speaking. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think, between the two of those people. I don't know either of them well at all. I've only had one conversation with one and two with another, but I'm pretty sure there'll be someone just like that. Yeah, I agree.
Yep. I was going to look up this person, but first let me ask. Okay, so credit card payments, don't get a machine. That's kind of, you don't need to do that. If you have an iPad or iPhone, you can use, I guess it's Stripe that has the little white, or it's Square.
Square, mm-hmm. You think that's a good way to go? I have a Stripe account. I could set up a whole, I actually think I have a PayPal account set up, but I'd want to set one up under my new brand name as a business account. But I just, you know, it's like, how do I want to deal with that? And also, I don't know, credit card machines just seem so 90s, but Stripe seems like it would be a good way to, I mean, Square.
Well, there's that, but also you probably are just going to have a shopping cart on your site where they can pay and check out, right? I mean, you're going to be selling something on a shopping cart.
So I had a donate page on Sparkalonious for just a hot minute. And so I had that all set up through Stripe. And I tested it myself several times, and the payments went through, and the payments came into my bank account. It was all good. And it could be that I add a page like that back in, but don't have it on the menu. Like, it's a page that if you want to pay for something, you click here, and it takes you to the payment page. But it's not visible at the top level, right? Because we're not showing prices at the top level.
Yeah, you can always have pages on your site that you can navigate to directly, but aren't on the menu. That works great.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Okay. I appreciate that input, because I was starting to think I should be able to run cards, and that just seems like, but then maybe I do want to have a Square for, like, if people, I can't imagine what they'd want to buy on site at a retreat, but who knows what I might come up with by then. I don't know.
Well, if you have books, they might.
Exactly. Have a book. Yeah. Yeah.
But usually you can also do a shopping cart transaction right on your own laptop, you know, in front of somebody on their behalf kind of thing, and then just hand them the book. Mm-hmm. So there's that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't even worry about that more than I would worry about getting a shopping cart in place and having it where they can do their own payments. I tend to, as a business owner, I shy away strongly from ever having people's credit card info. If I can at all avoid it. I mean, for this class, we did it. We ran, because we have a merchant account that works with our shopping cart. And then we have this thing called virtual terminal where we log into that merchant account and we can type in, you know, the person's card number on that. And it's just a website. It's just a browser based thing where you can just type it in. So just ask that question, virtual terminal kind of thing would be easy to do. But otherwise, it's a big liability to have credit card information. Yes. Yeah.
I don't want it. I mean, I think Square would be, I like the idea of them and me knowing that it's all happening securely.
Mm-hmm.
Off, you know, on a different site. I like that. I had heard that PayPal sometimes causes issues when you're making a really large payment, but then I think maybe they were talking about like a PayPal credit card or something like that, which is an entirely different thing. It should be able to process any amount, right?
Yeah, it should be. And they sometimes will, when you first start your account, they may have a limit for you of you can't have any charges larger than X, but it's going to be pretty large.
Okay.
So adding a soul spa page to the site, yes, when you're ready, I think it would be good to,
yeah.
It would be good to have a capturing tool there where it could be like, are you interested in one of our future retreats? You know, put your email address in here. We'll mm-hmm. notify you when we're going to do our next one or something so that you're
getting
interested parties a place to sort of indicate their interest or be the first to know, you know, like phrase it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also maybe let them know that we do them a few times a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be the first to know about the next one, and maybe describe some of what goes on there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, enough to intrigue them to want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And then also maybe point them, I'll have to figure out the words, but maybe point them back towards the sessions page. You know, like, you don't have to wait for the retreat. We can talk now. Boom.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Right.
On every page of your site, once again, on this page, how can I monetize this? Or how can I point them somewhere else where mm-hmm. I can monetize it? Let's see. Podcasts, the same time as videos. Well, I want to emphasize greatly how much work a podcast is. It sounds mm-hmm. like a great idea. It can be onerous. And everybody I know that has had a podcast has said that to me. Oh my God, if I'd only know how much work it is. So if you're going to do a podcast,
know that up front.
Yeah. So if you're going to do one, make sure you can make money doing it. You know, go look up Tim Ferriss, Ferriss, two R's, two S's.
Yep, I get his emails and I haven't listened to his podcast yet, but he sends out those like, oh, I forget what he calls it. It's like, you know, like five tips for your power morning and Friday morning, something, something. And he and also Malcolm Gladwell has a second season of his podcast. And so I look forward to the moment when I'm forced actually to stop focusing on this because I can't because I'm moving or I'm packing. And I can catch up on some of those things because there are people who have just done it incredibly well. But it takes, I don't want to do it if it's, you know, I don't, as my dad would say, I don't want to half step. You know what I mean? It can't be half-assed. It either needs to be really quality or just not. And it may be that video is the priority and podcast is down the road after something else is established.
I'm trying to find something that I saved in my Evernote for you, that is Tim Ferriss explaining how he built a fantastic podcast. And I just clicked it and the link is dead, but let me, because I had said to myself, if I was going to ever do a podcast, I would listen to this first. So let me see if I can get a good link off. This is last year. Yeah. This is from May of 2016 that I saved this. Interesting. He took it down, I guess. Weird. Very weird. Okay. Well, so much for saving that in my Evernote. If they kill the link,
I'm gonna dig in because I think he's great for his actual content, and he's great for like how to do it. You know, like here's a model for the thing done well, and I look at all of these different folks in the same way. It's like, okay, it's great content that I can actually apply, and then also look at them as an example of, you know, what parts of their delivery method would work for me. Do you know what I mean?
And you know what? I'm just pasting this whole email here because there's some good content in the email. So podcast info from Tim Ferriss. I'm sending it to you.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I would kind of hear what he has to say about, okay, how do you make money from this, and why are you doing this, and how do you build it and all that, because it is so much work. You would want it to be worth your while. And at the same time, saying all that, I do want to reiterate that I think that's a great medium for you, just because a lot of what you do has to do with stories. You know, people's stories of their journey, and hopefully at some point how you help them on it is going to be a great part of that.
Right.
So I think it's a great medium.
I think it's one of those things of, it's the order. Yeah. And also for people who aren't looking for a quick hit of inspiration, but aren't going to sit down and read something on their phone or their screen, you know, they want to listen as they're driving, they're multitasking, which is a favorite habit of people in that demographic, that, you know, those ideal avatars that I want to reach.
Yeah.
They do it all the time. And so I know because they send me links to this stuff. It's like, you're listening to this podcast. I'm like, I don't have time. But I think that it's like the order of monetization, right? The order to that path. So I think the first thing is going to be the coaching, and the next thing will be a retreat in spring, and then, you know, and then we'll move forward from there. But I want to be able to sustain what I'm building. I don't want to do all of this, even though we're going to do all of the things, I don't want to do all of the things at once. And yet I want to make sure that there's money coming in from it. And I think the coaching is probably that first step. Do you agree with that?
I totally do. Coaching is the most accessible, easy thing to pick up off the ground and start running with, you know, and then you add and build on that. And the coaching is going to fuel, you know, your coaching clients are going to want to have a retreat with you. They're going to want to go up the hourglass of offerings that direction. And then some people are going to want to go to the retreat and then go down from there having coaching afterward. But you can go both ways, flipping that thing backwards and forwards the way I like. That's why I like that model.
I love that model. And I had never, you're the first person I'd ever heard. I went and listened to your replay link again, and I'm going to listen to it probably at least two more times. But I appreciate having it. I hope it lives on where we can reference it, because it's really helpful. And one of many things that resonated was the fact that people are focused on, they just have one product. They don't have multiple offerings, and you laid it out so you can go up or down. And I've never seen it done like that before. It's amazing. It's like, okay, she's got what I need. I don't know how that works, but that was one of the things that convinced me, is I follow other, you know, like author Facebook groups and stuff. And there's some I had to drop out of because they're like really stuck in this sort of idea of lack. And then the ones who aren't are stuck in, well, my free ebook is going to pull people in and build my subscriber list, and then I'll monetize my blog. And I'm like, that's bullshit. You've got to do something else. And it rings as that with me. It's never seemed true. So this is the first thing that really made sense, you know. I mean, you're not going to get it with just like putting advertising on your blog. Who cares? I mean, you can,
right?
But
I know. It's funny. It's an example of some things that used to work when there were few people doing them, but now everybody does that. It's like, okay, what else? You know?
Right.
Let's see. What else? So you asked about this person. I don't know about her. So let me click this.
She's got a lot of free webinars. Here's the thing. The other thing I don't want to do with my webinar, and you don't do this with your, when you were, you know, using it. But what I find is sometimes when I sign up for those things, then I get spammed all the time. And it doesn't matter how good the thing is. And it's particularly disingenuous if they're pushing you to watch it now because there won't be a replay. And then it turns out, actually, there are 20 replays and I'm going to send you 15 emails a day. And I don't want to do that to people.
Yeah, I agree.
But it looks like she, you know, might have good content. I don't know if I want to pay for it. I haven't taken the time to watch the whole thing. I did, I think it was one of the Facebook groups I joined just to see what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to find out what's going on. What can you learn?
You know,
you've never heard of her.
I've never heard of her. And what attracts me to the page, first of all, there's some little broken characters in the page when I look at it. Like in the headline, it says smarter, more skilled, and saying yes. And then there's this little weird little box. Like there's supposed to be some character there. Oh, let me put it on the screen. I don't know why. I'll move it over here. You can see. See that little box?
Is it like a broken... Yeah, a broken GIF or like a blank emoji or something?
That.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And you know what that probably is? It's, so for an example of one of the things I do that's a huge pain in the butt, but I sort of insist on it, is I have a thing about the M dash versus the hyphen, right?
Oh,
use an M dash where it's supposed to be, right? Oh, it's a thing. And I think it comes from my print background. But I found the HTML code for an M dash so that no matter what browser it's on or who's looking at it, it'll always display as an M dash and not some other whack character because you've hard coded it into
I'm betting that
there's something like that going on there. She's got something that it just doesn't work.
Yeah, see,
something's going
right there,
whack-a-doodle in the code. Mm-hmm.
In the context, that wouldn't be an... I hear what you're saying. I think that's a good theory, but this one doesn't fit the M-dash theory. I don't know if it's an emoji she's trying to... They're all down the page. Here's one right
But here's
here.
here's the terrible irony of it. She's selling a work... She's selling a course about presenting.
Yeah. Also, she uses Comic Sans, which is... As I said, I'm sorry.
I just talked to Linda about that yesterday. We were talking about, I don't remember how it came up, but I'm like, so we were talking about, you know, the font to use for the AlineRay.com header. And I said, it's not stylized, just really simple and clean. And she's like, but we're not, you know, like not Times New Roman or Courier. I'm like, right, just use Comic Sans.
And she said, I'm going to slap you. Yep.
No, what she told me, her husband is also in design. And he took a picture from this workshop that he went to, designer's workshop, where they had done all the stuff in Comic Sans. Anyway. It happens.
My theory is that these are emojis, and they're not showing up on my my Chrome browser. So, okay.
Which is just another example of why not to include such things in your text. They're fine for texting, but it's not such a great thing.
Yeah, no.
On a web page,
she kind of blew it because now it just looks like there's mistakes all over her page. But overlooking all of those things, what is attractive to me about what I would want to learn from this is the participant experience and facilitation training. That would be really good training to have. You know, how to really facilitate a group. I think that's a really cool thing to learn. I don't know where else you necessarily learn that. So that's,
well, and the price is not prohibitive, you know. I think it's like $1,000 or something like that.
Oh.
It might not even be that much. It's it may be less than that. I can't remember. It was something that made me go, huh, okay, well, maybe if after we close on the house, I might sign up for that, you know. If we have, I might even set aside like a training budget for myself. Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not horrible.
$1,400
payments of $257. Yeah, that's not terrible.
Now, and the other value of going to these things is, like I just talked about in the last module, it's the networking. It's going there and being around other people who don't do exactly what you do, who will refer people from their audience so that you can find your dream team. That's another value of going to something like this. So that's kind of worth paying.
Well, but is it now, so if it were on like an in-person event, that might be the thing. I was thinking it was an online course.
Oh.
Did I actually send you a link to a live event? If it's a live event, I think you're right.
Well, she's got all these pictures of a live event, so that's what I'm kind of looking at. But you're right, it might.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
I'll have to look into it a little more. I just wondered if you'd ever heard of her, if you, yeah, you know, had any like pros or cons. And it looked like, yeah, I want to know that. Like, you know, because there is within the certification course, they cover certain things, but they'll also gear it based on what your interests are. And so I want to know about both group coaching and individual coaching. But I want to get, you know, there's some things about group dynamics, and you don't, even if I'm hand selecting, like I'm not going to bring anybody to the retreat that I haven't actually talked to on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, mm-hmm, I'm going to have that interaction. You're not going to just bring in random people to, you know, subject your other attendees to, like, there has to be a mission involved. And so, but even though, you know, you've all chosen each other, there's still some interesting dynamics that can happen. And so, I don't know, if you think she looks legit, into it a little deeper.
I mean, I think the information she's training on looks interesting, and the funny thing is I'm going through all the names here, and I'm like, I have not heard of one of these people, which is weird, because I know a lot of people in the expert author speaker space, like some of these testimonials, and I'm like, maybe I've heard of Cheryl, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting. But that's okay, because I'm not in the loop on everything, so I do think it would be cool to... If I were going to do what you're doing, I would kind of want to have, just like you're doing the coaching training, I would want to have the confidence of going, oh yeah, I know all of that stuff. Like, what are the icebreakers?
Right.
How do you put activities into a sequence and use key tenets of adult learning theory, and you know, how do you get engagement, and how do you facilitate people's discussions in a group and that kind of, I mean, I'd sort of intuitively know how to do that, and I've done it, but it would be cool to learn this. I don't know. I'm a learning junkie.
Mm-hmm.
So
I am too. I like to be able to put it, you know, this 8-week intensive has, I don't know when I've ever taken a course that, you know, returned, you know, I don't even know, 100-fold. I don't even know how to describe it, because everything can be applied in real life right now. It's going to work, right? It's already working.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. And I'm so grateful that you said, I'm betting on you. So, that means that this message has value, and I feel like I now have the, you know, a way of getting it out into the world. Because as you said, the internet's a pretty noisy place now. So getting heard above that, but having the courage to be heard above it is another piece of it too. So I feel like I'm there, and now I'm going to be really grateful for this time when, you know, things work out the way they're supposed to. I can't really produce quality video. You know, we really can't while we're kind of in limbo a little bit.
Yeah.
We can do other stuff. we're going to do some on location video on our road trip this weekend. That's what we're going to do. And so we'll be able to incorporate that in other places, but I can't do that until the logo's ready anyway, you know, so we can play with it and get used to being on camera and that kind of thing that, you know, I haven't really done. So, yeah. But anyway, I'll look at that.
Well, we talked about this next question. Should you have the subscriptions from all three funnel to a single mailing list? Yes, absolutely. Yes.
The answer was yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I'll do and that. Then,
do you?
And I'll have all of the sites are going to refer back to each other too. So each site will have, you know, more by this author or more about, and there'll be a link to whatever the other two places are.
Okay. And then do you need to form an LLC before accepting clients? I would say yes, ideally. Like, I wouldn't say don't accept money from anyone until, like, no. But, I mean,
right.
In general, yeah, it's really smart to have your entity set up because that way you're immediately
protected
yeah. as far as they're paying the LLC, they're not paying you.
Right.
The thing that I think a lot of people miss that my attorney was great at explaining to me is that you're trying to create an entity that's separate from you in every way. Like, just try to make it where what he said is you don't want them to be able to pierce the corporate veil. That's the way that they frame
right.
it. And so you don't want to intermingle your funds in any way other than formally right. through accounting, like put a reimbursement form in and get a reimbursement check from the company for specific things and account for them in QuickBooks. And the other thing is that, you know, I've seen people, even one of my really close friends, she named her LLC, her name LLC. And I'm like, don't do that. That's too close to proving that the LLC is actually you.
Mm-hmm.
It's your name.
Yeah. Okay. So I wonder what I would call it. I was just going to do Aline Ray LLC as the umbrella, but maybe that's not even it. I don't know.
It's not as important in the branding thing. The thing is that it's going to be at the bottom of your footer page on every website that you do because it's going to be copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is Clutter Diet Inc. You know, so it's mm-hmm. going to be copyright, the year, Clutter Diet Inc. That you're just going to see that everywhere. Well, you're going to say LLC.
Okay. So I need to think of something totally. Oh, maybe that's where I'll have to. So what I'm thinking is, maybe that's where I use Liberation Alchemy or something like that, you know, totally unrelated. But I really feel like this space will also allow time for me to, like, get an attorney to do that or at least review it. I'm not comfortable with just going on to, like, legal Zoom. I've done it for other things, but I don't want to do that. And when I was in business for myself before, I just did sole proprietor, right? I just got mm-hmm. a business license. And that feels not safe, particularly now since I've hitched my wagon to another person whose fortunes are now tied to mine one way or another, for better or for worse. And so I don't want, you know, whatever I create and he creates, it just can't be, like, our personal assets can't be vulnerable like that. I just feel like we need to start as we mean to go.
From a branding perspective and a positioning perspective, any major partner that you're going to do strategic alliances with or anything, they're going to expect you to be a corporate entity. They're not going to be like, what? You're a sole proprietor? Hello. They're just going to expect
you. Yeah, right.
You know, you're going to small potatoes. Yeah.
That name then should, whatever that name is of the LLC, that name should go as the copyright under, at the bottom of every site, of all three blogs and of the brand, of my brand site too, right?
Yes, because the entity is the technical owner of all of that property. And so it's not something to worry too much about branding, except for just knowing from a positioning standpoint, where's this going to show up and how's that going to look when it's there? You know, so when you sign a contract mm-hmm. with a giant partner and you have this big legal mm-hmm. contract, it's going to say your LLC name is the party to the contract, and it's, is it going to be too corny, and is it going to be too flippant or whatever? And if it's your name, then that's a bad idea. So just something that sounds businessy enough that has something to do with your business. That's, it's sort of like when you, here's another way to look at it. When you watch a television show and at the end of the show and they give the credits, they often have, you know, some kind of production company little slide that they show.
And they're funny. They're funny. Yeah. Like Amblin Entertainment or, that's a Spielberg thing, but there, I mean, there are so many funny ones that literally the name cracks me up. I'm like, oh, I wish I'd thought of that. And you know what? I have a whole bunch of, domains that I've just, you know, I've just parked, and the answer may be in one of those, right?
Oh,
just use that name, not as a domain name, but like one of those, like the one of the ones that just cracks up the text at my site host might be the exact answer, because it, he's like, "What's that about?" I'm like, "I have no idea yet." Right. You know, I mean, Adventures of Cake Baby, right? I don't know what that's about, but maybe it's the name. It's like Cake Baby, you know, Cake Baby LLC. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it is, think of it as a production company. That could be hilarious. I remember.
It could be just, you know,
TV shows growing up, and there was that one, it would go, "Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog." Remember that?
Yes. Which one was that? It was hilarious. It was,
Family
it was always
Ties.
Funny.
Some like Family Ties or some show like that, but I think
and also MTM, where you're supposed to have the lion and the cat meow. Remember that?
Yeah,
after Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
So, well, so much good stuff, Lori. I feel like, I mean, I know I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, and I also know you don't have hours and hours and hours, and I want to respect your time, and I know you got a lot going on, so we can sure, you know, have a final one-on-one call when it works for you, and just do the wrap-up. Maybe I'll even have a final version of the logo to show you. That'd be cool.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so fun. I'd love to see that.
Wouldn't it?
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and put, since we're talking, it's easier to do it talking. Why don't we put something on the calendar for next week, and that way we'll just have that done. It'll be one less email.
Okay, that sounds, that's perfect. Okay, so here's what I just realized. So we are going up to Durango this Sunday. We may only stay through Monday, but we may stay until Tuesday, depending on the number of things we can accomplish and the people we can talk to. So, and then Thursday is my photo shoot.
Wednesday. Cool.
Yeah. I would be fine. I would be fine with talking while we're out of town, except the last time I learned how spotty the cell coverage is. So, but we'll definitely be, we'll be back certainly by Tuesday night. And let's see, I have an appointment at 10 a.m. my time on Wednesday. Other than that, I'm open.
Okay. I also have a 10 a.m. and I have a lunch. So, and you're 1 hour behind me, I think.
Yep.
Okay. So why don't we just say 3 o'clock my time, 2 o'clock your time?
That sounds perfect. And this time I won't say Pacific time. What a dork.
Oh,
I couldn't believe I did that. Someone had just done it to me too. They're like, I totally transposed. Yeah. So it happens.
When you know, like I've had days where I totally know that, but I blank and I just get it backwards or something, and you never know. So 3 o'clock from me.
Well, and I meant to say mountain. It was like a Freudian slip. I still think of myself as a West Coaster, and I'm not. So 3 o'clock for you, 2 o'clock mountain. I have it on my calendar for Wednesday, September 27th. I even put an alert on it.
Okay.
And I'm just going to so look forward to that. And I sent you just another, I don't like to say random, but I just sent you an email that's like low priority. I just wanted you to see these magazine covers, and I'm adding something to my my media dream list.
I saw that. Yeah, I wanted to comment on that. Actually, I meant, you said PS on media. Yes. Yes, looking at the magazine rack is a really, really good idea. In fact, go to Barnes & Noble or someplace that has a full newsstand and get familiar with what's all there, because you'd be surprised what's gone. There's a lot of magazines that closed in the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
Domino is one. Like, yeah. I read it, but yeah. And then, you know, kind of decide what is that target demographic they're going for. And you've kind of nailed it on some of this here. Like, Helen Mirren is, yeah, she's badass. I freaking love her. Oh my gosh.
She is amazing. She says amazing things. She's brilliant at what she does. And she just gives no dams, you know. I mean, she's like, this is me, I'm fabulous. And she just cemented for me, like, the nail color I'm gonna do, because one of my outfits is gonna be all white, and I'm like, I am gonna go for that, you know. She's just awesome. And and you know, she's, the fact that the demographic for this magazine is like 18 to 49. Like, how many changes did you go through between, well, you're not 49 yet, but between 18 and 48, how many changes?
Yeah, no kidding. That's interesting.
That's broad, right? And so, but by putting Helen Mirren on the cover, who's 20 years older than their highest demographic age, it's like, okay, so people are looking for role models to aspire to. Mm-hmm. She's not in their demographic. And I thought, that's cool. It's, yeah, there's just a lot there. But I used to buy, you know, 10 magazines a month, like the new issue of so many things. And I haven't spent money in that way in a long time, because I just, first of all, I haven't had the money to spend. But second of all, I just don't have that kind of attention span. And a lot of things weren't getting read, and there's so mm-hmm. much online. But it, I think it really pays to look at print stuff sometimes, and it just caught my eye. It was perfect timing.
That's great. You know, a trick, by the way, is to go to a used bookstore. A lot of times they'll have used magazines, and people just go and sell their magazines, and you can get them pennies on the dollar.
Oh,
if you want some magazines cool. to cut out of pictures for a vision board, or if you just want to sort of study one particular magazine to see more about what they're covering. I've done that a bunch of times before. I've gone to New York to have meeting with editors. I'll go look at the last news and do it that way.
Smart.
Yeah. And,
very smart. Yeah, because the cost of magazines now, it's like, they've been like over $4 for a long time. And then like the fall issue of Vogue is, I don't even know what it is these days, but you know, if you're spending $5 every magazine,
yeah,
it adds up, really fast. So, but yeah, the previous month's issue, sure, why not? But I also like to look at the headline, you know.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
The thing about the Helen Mirren thing, it's not anti-aging, it's the end of anti-aging, right?
Yes, so like love that.
Embracing it. And that's why I went ahead and shelled out $4.99. I wanted to find out what they had to say about that. So I'll let you know. It may be nothing that we don't already know. But,
yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that's the audience.
Well, hey, so have a wonderful trip, you and Sunny D. I can't wait to hear about
it. Thank you. I'll keep you posted. And if we get some great video, I'll send you the raw footage too. That'd be a hoot, right? So you have a great rest of the week. Enjoy your weekend. And thank you so much. I'll talk to you Wednesday.
Okay, perfect. See you then.
All right, take care.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.